Gracious and loving Father, you are so good. You are so good that you became one of us. And in spite of all the challenges, in spite of all the suffering, in spite of all the pain he would endure, he took it willingly. Jesus, as we prepare for your coming in this Advent season, we ask, Lord, that you would help us lean in. Help us to be receptive. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see that we'll be the people you've called us to be. Have mercy on us. Be gracious to us. Help us to see that this season you are a light for us when all the lights go out. We lift up our world. We lift up your world. We pray your world would experience your renewing, redeeming grace afresh this day. We pray your will be done. Now take this time and bless it. Use it for your glory. May you meet us where we're at and help us become the people you dream of us becoming. We pray this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We all come from someone, somewhere, some place, right? We have a story. We have a people that we come from. This Advent, I'm talking a lot about our roots. Where do we come from? That we didn't just happen, right? You might have been a surprise to your parents, but you weren't a surprise to the Lord. And the reality is, in those beautiful surprises, the messiness of life, you never know what God's going to do. Here's what I found with 20-some years plus years of working with students and families, that every family was doing the best they could, pretty much. What's crazy is some of the most dysfunctional families I'd work with, they were better than their previous families. When you'd hear their stories, you're like, oh, wow. Ooh, you're doing good for where you're at. You're doing good. And I say that to say, we all need God's help. Last week I talked to you about the roots of God's work and starting new creation. That Jesus was at the beginning of what creation was. And he imagined what it could be for us. And he tried to show us the way. And he shows us again how to be human. That we our comings and goings isn't something that we don't always feel that loving or that filled up. And we're not supposed just to fake it till we make it, but we're supposed to lean in and say, God, help me this day. Help me this day to be able to love who you've placed around me. Help me to be able to be the person you've called me to be in spite of all the challenges. And I said it began with this paradox of Christianity, one of the great ones, that we experience victory when we surrender. When we truly surrender, let it go, and say, Lord, not my will, your will. It's amazing what God can do then. Man, today I'd like to ask you to think about what's in a name. I mean, you might love your name. I have found that there's people here that have had their given name. they don't go by it, right? Like, just say your name was hypothetical. I'm thinking Talmadge or something, right? You probably don't go by Talmadge. You probably go by Tom. DeShazo. Just a hypothetical. But the reality is, here we are, and we have been given names. Some of them we embrace, some of them we love. Some names we have kind of given ourselves over the years. And some of those names need to, I think, be given to God, laid at his feet, and say, Lord, is this really who I am? Believe it or not, the Lord has a lot to say about names. Your parents chose your name or found your name or came up with something at the last second, but they came up with a name and they gave it to you. And names mean a lot, especially in the Bible. Names meant so much. It really said who you were. It described what you did, what you were, what you were going to do. One of my all-time favorites is Jacob, or we say Jacob. In our English, Jacob means swindler. I mean, just a thief waiting to kind of connive and steal. And you're like, how many Jacobs do you know? Do they go by, hey, call me thief, call me swindler? No, you'd be like, take care, have a good day, see ya. We don't do that so much in our names today, but names are a big deal for the Lord and for what his people were. And I just want to kind of give you the punchline right now. I believe God has a name for each one of us that he had in mind before you came from your parents' DNA, that he knew who he wanted you to become, and he saw that, and he dreamt it, and he said, yes, that would be great for them. That's the name for them. And it's our, I think, one of our responsibilities as followers of the Lord to let him be the one who names us. Let me turn to you to a situation in Genesis. Again, roots, we're going back in the Hebrew, Jesus' lineage to kind of figure out and understand who he is today in Advent for us this day. This comes from Genesis chapter 12. And this is the Lord talking to Abram, okay? And I'll explain a little bit about his name here in a second. The Lord has said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I mean, this is good, right? I mean, this is sounding really good here. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. In other words, I'll protect you. I'll provide for you and I'll protect you. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you. That's huge. That's not just the Jewish people. This is given to Abram, the father of the Jewish tradition, right? The Israelites. But it's looked at the whole view of the world right now. It's the whole world, and they're now, God is zeroing in on one person to be this head and to then work through it to then give, again, us this Jesus. But in this name of Abram, it means exalted father. Now, this is kind of interesting here. He had no children. Think about this. You were named exalted father by your family, and you have zero kids at 30, 40, 50, 60. You're probably, at this point, figuring not much chance of this happening at 60, 70, 75. He's told this. You're going to be, he tells him later, Abraham, not just Abram, which means father of many. At some point, you got to go, oh, that's kind of funny little thing there, God. That's a good one. Ha, ha, ha. Maybe it's more metaphorically he means it. Comes to find out, I mean, think about that. If you're Abram, you followed God. He said, hey, I want you to go. And you had the amazing faith and audacity to actually listen to him and obey him, and you go. And God's like, because you did that, because you trusted me, I'm going to do something really wild in your life. You're going to be a father of so many people. And he's kind of like, have you met my wife? You know who I am. That's nice, God, that's nice. For those of you that are 75 and up, what would you do if the Lord says, guess what? This one, he's like, The reality is, man, that would just kind of rock our worlds. Even when we're younger and we find out, hey, there might be a surprise. Okay, dear Lord, you know. It kind of rattles us. I heard one gentleman say it's like an earthquake when we could become parents. I mean, it shakes our core. Tectonic plates are being moved in our lives. Like, whoa, what is happening here? And yet Abram is told this is going to be. His future was different, completely different than what he imagined at his age. I mean, there's no way this is going to happen now. And yet, his name was changed forever. And we come to find out he has many sons, and many sons, and many sons, and many sons. Father Abraham, you guys know it. I won't make you sing it. But the reality is, Abraham has this great lineage, and we look back. He's in the line of Jesus, right? And Jesus, for those of you that are working on your Hebrew, good job, keep it up. The Hebrew way of pronouncing Jesus is Yeshua, okay? We say a lot of J's when they're actually Y's. Just a little heads up there, okay? It should be Jerusalem, not Jerusalem, okay? But Yeshua means the Lord saves. Now think about it. That's your name your whole life. You're going around going, Lord saves. Hey, Lord saves, come over here. Clean up after dinner, Lord saves. You didn't pick up your stuff. Lord saves all the time you hear it. Now, what's a little fun fact about the Hebrew language is it's a verb-based language, which means that action of the Lord saving controls every other action that's put around it. That it's all about, every aspect of Jesus' life is all about the Lord saving. The Lord saves. Do you know what we are referred to in Scripture? I'm just going to give you a few. When it talks about the church says, we're described as being beloved, the beloved of God, that He loves the church. Now, many of us, if you have a pulse, you've all had a bad church experience. Every one of us has had at some point. And yet, God still works in it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He calls us beloved. Do you know that we're also referred to in the Scripture as the saints? Now, some of us, I know that's a little liberal term. It's right. Ooh, okay. But He sees the church as saints, those who have been called to be witnesses in the world, in other words. Another one we're called is the body. And again, there's so many more descriptions of the church, of God's people. But the body, that kind of, for us, I think it kind of gives us a little bit easier way of kind of wrapping our minds around this. If you are walking in the middle of the, you know, in the middle of the night, go to use the restroom or something like that, and you stub your toe, that affects every other part of your body at that moment. You don't go, oh, I didn't even feel that. I mean, you know, whoa, what, that's, oh, man, right? It affects little parts, can affect big parts, right? If one of us isn't feeling well, it affects us. Paula Van Salon, God bless her, she's back. Praise the Lord. You know, she fought. I go to visit, I got thrown out. But it's okay, I'm not a bad, I don't know. She didn't hear me. You got to get the hearing thing. You'd be good. That, Paul, that was a great joke. Wasted. Moving on. Her daughter was like, she's contagious. You can't be here. I'm like, I'm outside. I'm just dropping off. Just prayer shawl. God loves her. Get out of here. Yes, ma'am. Moving on. In all seriousness, the body, it's so connected. When one of us is struggling, again, we all struggle. When one of us has a success, it's so wonderful. There's going to be a wedding here shortly. I can't wait for it. Next February, there's supposed to be another wedding. I can't wait for that one, too. There's challenges that each one of us is facing. You know what? We got to be there for one another. We got to pray for one another. That's what the church family is to be about. Do you know what the Scriptures say about you personally? You are loved beyond from head to toe. You are loved completely. One great truth of Scripture says that there's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore, which means it's not based on what you do for God, in other words. It's not how good you are, all the good things you've done. God doesn't have a checklist, and He's kind of like, oh, all right, okay, good job over there. I'm going to do some extra work in your life. No. It's not how it works. There's nothing you can do to make God love you any less. Isn't that beautiful? No matter what we've done, no matter where we come from, God says, I love you completely. I mean, that's foundational, secure. So when bad things happening, A, it could be the Lord might be disciplining you, letting you experience the fruit of maybe some bad choices, but those are temporary. And you should be getting through it. Repent, move on, everything's good. But if there's still struggle coming on your life, then what I have found is God is allowing that to happen to help stretch your faith muscle, to help you learn to surrender to Him, to learn to grow in Him. He knows where He's trying to take you in 5 years. He knows where He's trying to take you in 10 years, and so on and so forth. It's our job, though, to be open and receptive and to trust Him. But you are loved. He also calls us, Jesus actually says the word, you are my friend. I mean, that takes away the whole distant God. Sometimes we just imagine this God so far away. Old guy, somewhere else. The Scriptures say that if we've seen Jesus, we've seen the Lord. We've seen the Father. And so in the face of Jesus, He calls us friends. Not because we have it all together, not because we figured it all out, not because we have our checklist all done, but because he says, you are mine. Listen to that. Hear that. What name is he calling you? My parents came up with my name based on my dad's work. He was a photographer at the time, and he met a kid named Dustin and said, oh, it's kind of nice. And I'm like, that's it? That's it? That's all I got? Talmadge, Pruitt, DeShazo the second or junior. That's a name. My brother, Henry Willard Starrett the fourth. That's a name. Oh, I'm so glad I didn't get Willard. Dear Lord, I'm so glad I didn't get Willard. I was like, could it be second? Could it be second? Could it be second? I just met a kid. Thanks, Dad. You know what Dustin I found out meant? Valiant father. Now, that's a lot to live up to. Our names in the Lord mean so much more than our parents' hopes. And don't get me wrong, parents' hopes are big, man. You hope and pray for the children. You hope and pray for nieces and nephews. You hope and pray that they would learn to hear the Lord's voice. They would learn to do the dance with the Lord. They'd learn to live for him. But God's hopes in us and for us are greater than that, infinitely more. It's about us learning to breathe in and breathe out his breath afresh every day. You are friends. You are blessed. Believe this or not, you are blessed. There are so many things God does in our lives that we don't even know about, right? So many things he prevents, protects us. But how does he tell us these things? Right? He doesn't. There's so many things my children have no clue what their mother and I did for them. It's not for them to know. It's for their mother and I to do that. Serve and love and care and provide. How much more has the Lord done for us? You are redeemed. Take that one. Bought back. That's a slavery term, redeemed. Bought back, given worth, value. That your value is not based on your valuables. Your value is not based on what you have earned and done. But your value is being a child of God. That your identity is foundational in him and him alone. That what he says you are is much more important than what anyone else might say. That what he's doing in your life has greater influence and greater, we're talking eternal significance. And yet some of us, we just feel so small. We hear what the world says and we just pull back and pull back. It's time for us to actually lean in and maybe even step up and become the people God called us to become. Now this was hard for me to put in, but Scripture tells us that we are strong in him. There are times I don't feel very strong. There are seasons that we can experience that we just feel so broken down. It can be from our health. It can be from bad news, bad challenges. How many things have rocked your world in the last 12 months, 5 years? Loss of loved ones. Challenges that we face. You just don't feel strong. And yet our strength is not in our physicality. Our strength is in who God is and what he is doing and him being faithful. Let me pull up that song again if I can. I'll read the words to you because I don't want to mess up everything they got upstairs. But God of my present, God of my future, you write my story, you hold it all together. He holds it all together. It's not about you and I having to hold it all together. It's about knowing the one who does hold it all together. So maybe you're going into surgery. Lord, I know you hold it all together. Your will be done. Maybe you're getting ready for a big transition. Oh, Lord, I need you to hold it all together. We're strong because of what he is and who he is and what he's doing and how he is working on our behalf. Don't miss that. Your strength is not based on what you can do, but what he can do. In fact, if you are in a position where you got no chance unless God intervenes, you are perfectly placed for God to do a miracle in your life. Throughout all of Scripture, miracles didn't come to people that could do it on their own. Miracles came to people that needed it. And so maybe you need God to intervene. Maybe you need a new job. Maybe you don't know about where you're going to be living. Maybe you don't know about what the future is going to be looking like. Good. You're in a great place today, Lord. Okay. It's time for you to step up. What are you going to do? Man. One of the last ones is you are free. You are free. You're not owned by your past. The past informs us. So many of us have had horrible situations we experienced in life that we wouldn't wish on anyone else. I'm not saying we should just pretend that didn't happen, but it doesn't have to own you. It can inform, it can help. Some of the people that I've worked with at the Inner Truth Project help sexual assault survivors deal with what they experienced to help them move forward. Well, the lady who started that was a woman who had been sexually assaulted multiple times. But she's using that pain, after she's done an incredible amount of work to work through it herself, to help others in that journey. To let them know this doesn't have to define who you were, who you are. That God is not the end of all things. For you, that he's forgotten you, that he is the one who redeems all things. He's the one who brings it together. He's the one who frees you to be the person he's called you to be. They're doing some good work there. Let me read to you something Jesus says to the church in Revelation. He says, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. So we got to listen, and we got to seek to understand. You got what I'm saying? Okay. To everyone who is victorious, I will give some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven. And so you know what manna is. It's this thing that God gave, and we say thing because we know it was some type of food. Literally, manna is translated, what is that? Okay. Some of you might have said that at Thanksgiving this year. You're like, what is that? Okay. But what is that? Is this, they gave food, so he's got food for them, nutrients he's going to provide for them, he's saying, has been hidden away in heaven. And this is the part that I want to really land home on. And I will give to each one a white stone. And on the stone will be engraved a new name that no one understands except the one who receives it. Each one of us has a stone with the name that God has imagined us having all our days. Now, before you rush to think about what your name means, I know that there's a Mackenzie in here that thinks glamorous is his. Maybe there's a Shirley who thinks strong. Maybe a Hanlon who, I don't know what Hanlon thinks. But Jesus has a vision for you and for me, for our lives of what it could be and should be. And it's our job to surrender and seek that out, especially this Advent season. This is not just something that we do because it fits on a calendar. This is the beginning of the year for us in the Christian story of us looking back and remembering and being reminded. So my question for you is, what's your name? Have you thought about that? Not your given name by your parents, which again, they did, I'm sure, a wonderful job. Talmadge. But in reality, what is the name that God has for you? Close your eyes for a second. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we close here just for a moment, before we begin to again praise you and thank you, I prayed in the beginning that you are a light for us when all the lights go out. And I come back to that, Lord. Help us to know that you light the way. That our true name in you is all that matters. Who are we called to be? What have you imagined us becoming? In your grace and glory, Father, may you have your way with us. Help us lean in and not be afraid. And help us to see that even Abram at 75, God was not done with him for a very, very long time. Help us to know you're not done with us, no matter what age we are. You are faithful, Lord. You are good. We pray this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Again, have you thought about the fact that God had a purpose for your name? It was written on his heart first. And then he thought of you, and he's been working on you learning that name every day of your life. Well, remember Revelation 2:17 this week. Promise new names. You have a promised new name to find, discover, and figure out who defines you. I guess let me say it better like this. Who defines you? Are you being defined by what the world says? Are you being defined by what your parents said back in the day? Are you being defined by what your job says? Are you being defined by, fill in the blank, if it's anything else other than what the Lord says, you might need to check that. And that might was really not a might. You need to. Consider this. Every day this week, take a moment. Say, Lord, am I becoming the person you've called me to be? Help me to do that. Help me to be open to that. Help me know your plans for me are for good. Now, your homework isn't long. It's not hard. It's, again, one chapter, Exodus 12. Again, we're going back in the Hebrew text to look and find out those roots of Jesus and what he has done and what he's doing in our lives. It's one chapter. It's not hard. Again, I dare you to do it. Now, receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. He has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen.